Okay, once again, welcome everyone. S2M Masterclass, Day 2, Session 1. Good to see you all. Glad to see that you're all enthusiastic and energetic and optimistic. And we're going to have a lot of fun today. I want you to go to page 16 in your booklet. And we're going to talk about marketing documents. Your marketing documents. Now, a marketing document is any piece of copy, text, promotional material, whether that be your stationery, letterheads, business cards, flyers, promos, and whether this be physical or digital in the form of a website or an email campaign, any attempt that you make to connect with your customers is technically a marketing document. And what we're going to look at today are the rules, the best strategies for producing the best marketing documents. And what makes a marketing document good is that it converts. It typically converts prospects into customers. It draws people into your funnel, into your system. It gets them to bite the bait and get hooked into your system, or it converts them to a sale. So what we're looking at is what would make a marketing document effective. Typically what people focus on is the design, right? They focus on the design and they hope that if it looks really good, it will work. And the fact is any designer will tell you, or anyone that's ever run a campaign of any sort, that it looking good doesn't necessarily convert. There's a science behind effective copywriting and what is called print persuasion, the ability to persuade someone in print, someone that you've never met and that you'll probably never meet and that will never meet you. All you have is the words that you write to connect with them. So there is a science behind this. It's well documented. It has been practiced and used for many years by advertisers and copywriters and marketeers. And what I'm going to share with you is that science and exactly how it works. And I'm doing this so that you are starting with the end in view, which is one of the points we're going to deal with. What I mean by that is a lot of entrepreneurs pour all their energy, all of their thoughts, all of their efforts into the product itself. So they've made the product, wiped the sweat off their brow, breathe a sigh of relief, and feel this sense of having achieved something. Of course, the garage is full with boxes, the living room is full of boxes, and now they're faced with, okay, how am I going to sell this? Who's going to buy it? So if you're going to be effective as an entrepreneur, you don't start with the product, you start with the marketing. And what you develop before you even develop your product plan is a marketing plan. And part of that has to do with your marketing documentation. So that's why I started yesterday with marketing. That's why I'm going to start off again today with marketing, because if you start with marketing, you're more likely to sell products and you're more likely to live the dream of money freedom, time freedom, mind freedom, and freedom of mobility, all the stuff we spoke about yesterday morning. So here are the 10 rules, golden rules for creating effective marketing documents and persuading people in print. The first rule is the rule of objectivity, or the rule of the objective. Okay? So what that means is that smart marketers start everything with the end in view. Everything with the end in view. So the question is, what exactly am I trying to achieve? It's a very simple question, but if you start out with that question, you're more likely to be successful as an independent entrepreneur. What exactly am I trying to achieve? Now, typically, when it comes to marketing documents, there are two things that people are trying to do. two objectives. One is to generate a lead. In our business, it's called lead generation. Two is to convert to a sale, typically called a conversion. Those are the two main objectives of a marketing document, a marketing piece, any copy that you write to connect you with customers or potential customers. What do I mean by lead generation? Back to the metaphor I gave you of fishing with the line, the bait, the hook. You generate leads by getting people to opt into your list. You generate leads when someone bites your bait and joins your list. So sometimes it's referred to as capturing data. Some websites, some flyers, some letters are just designed to capture data. Because as you realized yesterday, one of the golden rules is that you should only market to your list. Because your list have told you, I'm interested, I'm web literate, I have this issue in my life. These people are the most likely to buy from you. So you're trying to build a list, then if that's your objective, then start from that premise. I am producing this flyer not to impress people with my company, but to drive people to a website where they'll take a free offer from me and put their name and email address in. That's my objective. And if you start like that, you will quickly be able to decide whether this flyer that you're going to hand out at this big meeting, right? There's a meeting going on, and I'm going to hand out a postcard flyer. If the objective is to capture data, you will quickly be able to look at that flyer when you finish and say, would I go to the website after reading this? Is the website even clear on this? What exactly is this flyer asking me to do? Yeah? Because you have a sense of the objective is I want everyone who gets this flyer to go to my website and sign up for my free gift. That's my objective, because this is a lead generation exercise. If on the other hand your objective is to convert people to a sale, and you start out with that in mind, and you say, well, the reason I have written this is so that you will buy that, then when you finish writing it, you can look at it and say, would I buy it after reading that? Becomes a sort of a measurement for you. Also, you could say, is it clear that I want them to buy this? Is it clear why they should buy it? Is it clear how much it costs? Is it clear how to buy it? Because the truth is, and as I will explain today, most websites are total confusion. Okay? You can look at it for 5 whole minutes and not know what they are asking you to do. Okay? Now, if you're going to be a smart marketeer, you cannot have that problem. People must know quite quickly what you're trying to do, because you know from the outset what you are trying to do. So you've got two types of marketing document: lead generating documents, sales documents that convert people to buy something, to pull money out of their pocket and buy something. You have those two, and you should start, before you write one word, with those ends in view. Okay? So let's just try this very quickly. You want me to join your mailing list, okay? You're at a large networking conference at Excel. There's 5,000 people walking around looking at stalls, and you have 1,000 postcards, okay? Are you going to be allowed to go in and give postcards out to people, okay? Or they're going to come by your stall and grab a postcard. And for you, the most important thing is that you generate leads, you get people to opt into your list, you get people on your mailing list, because you know that the day you have 10,000 qualified people on your mailing list, you're rich for life. You know this. So you're out there trying to do that. What do you think your postcard should say?
Free document or free book or whatever.
Yeah, free book. Good.
You download, give the website, and actually say by looking at this website.
Free download, go to this website, good.
Shouldn't it have on there what it is you're trying to sell to them?
Am I selling anything to them?
Well, enticing them to have a look at.
You're advertising something.
You're advertising something.
Okay, so you think it should say what you're advertising?
Yeah.
Okay. Contact who?
The website.
The website.
And then maybe if you actually have physical address as well.
I think it should also have on it what you're actually trying to achieve.
What is that?
So, for example, with the case of healing from diabetes, something like be healed, free information, or something like that, or jobless, free
good.
Information is important.
Good. I like the discussion, because that's really how we come up with marketing documents as we think this through. And to a certain degree, you have to become your own enemy when you're thinking about your marketing documents and ask all of the why questions. What will that do? What's the point? What's the reason for this? You have to ask these questions, because you typically have 3 seconds to impact that person. Because they're going to look at your postcard and either stuff it in their pocket or they're going to throw it in the bin. They're not going to take it home and study it. So one of the first rules is no small print. Because who on earth is going to study that? Okay. One of the second rules is simplicity. Third, clarity. So no small print, simplicity, clarity. There is a straightforward request that I'm making of you, or offer that I'm making to you. Free ebook, free report on how to this, that, and the other. Go now. www. Now, do you need much of anything else on that postcard? Because here's typically what people will do, is they will drown that message out with beautiful graphics, borders, picture of them smiling in the background, and all of this stuff. They'll drown it out. And I'll explain that in some detail as we go along. But because you're a smart marketer, you know exactly what you want people to do. You know you have about 3 seconds to capture them. So you know that you have to make this impact on them, bang, straight away. And you can't leave them in any confusion. No small print. No confusion. You want it simple. And you want it clear what I am asking you to do. That's the law of objectivity. Okay, and this kind of bleeds into the next, which is singleness of purpose. A single purpose. Now, I'll let you into a secret. There are only 3 types of website. There are only 3 purposes of a website. Let me correct. There are many types of website, but there are 3 basic purposes of a website. The first is a brochure site. A brochure site is technically an online brochure where you can go to the website and you can take a look at us. You can find out about our organization, you can find out about our services that we offer, you can find out about our team, our staff, our structure, our policy, our vision, our mission. Right? How many have been to a website like that? Here's the mission statement. Here's the structure of the organization. Here's the this, that, and the other. What that is called is a brochure site. Okay? It's a brochure, but it's electronic. It's on the internet. Okay? So we have this brochure site. All right. The second sort of website is called a lead generating site or a data capture site. Or an opt-in site. These are phrases that you'll see in your manual and phrases you'll get used to. These sites are typically one page. There is no navigation bar. You cannot go to page two, page three. There is one page. It has one offer. And the offer is for something free, a free report, or a free ebook, or a free audio that you can instantly download, or a free video that you can instantly view online after you put in your name and email address. Okay? That is designed to capture data. The third type of website is an e-commerce site or a sales site. The purpose of that is to get you to part with your money. That is the objective of that particular site, is to get you to part with your money. Now, what is the mistake that most people make? Very simple. They try to do all three on the one site. They try to be a brochure site, capture data, and sell products all on the same site. And this violates one of the fundamental laws of marketing, of customer orientation, which is this: you are asking the customer to do too much work. And if you ask me to do the work, I'm not interested. I'm moving along to the next service provider who's going to do the work for me. What typically happens when you go to a website that has all three mixed in, so you've got all the information about the organization, and put your name and email address in here so you can join our mailing list, and go to the product page where you can buy all of these products, you're assuming that anyone is staying on your site longer than 3 minutes. You're assuming that they're staying longer than 3 seconds. You are assuming that they will be able to understand, because the problem is when you make something, you understand it. You understand it so much that you assume that it's clear, and it's not. You jump onto it, and it's not clear to you what you're supposed to do. Now, some people can get away with it. Who? You ready for it? Big, established brands. They can get away with it. Okay, so you can go to Amazon.com and spend 10, 15, 20 minutes navigating around, looking at bargains, looking at special offers, because that's a big established brand. You can go to other established brands. You can go to IKEA's website and look around all the furniture. You can go there because they're big and they're established and their message is already clear. You and I are not big. We are not established. We are probably unheard of by most of the people that will visit our site. So therefore, we have to separate the three. You will need a brochure website so people can check you out. Okay? And there's no harm putting a data capture box in your brochure website, and there's no harm offering some products on your brochure website, so long as you understand that this is a brochure website. This is the only thing I really want from here, is for people to check me out. Look at who I am, what I'm about, what my or your company, because you don't have to do yourself, okay? It's your company, whatever the company is. Check out the company, fine. As long as you're not expecting to drive a lot of sales through that site or a lot of data capture, because it typically doesn't happen. Okay? So what we're going to do... So what you typically do is you create your brochure site, but then you also need a data capture, dedicated data capture, get ready for this, landing page, squeeze page, opt-in page, lead generation page, because these are all the phrases that describe the same thing. It's a one-page website with very little information on it, other than the free, this, that, the other, download right now for free. Okay? You may have a description of what's the benefits of downloading this. You'll learn what's the number one cause of diabetes, what's the number one cause of this, what the seven myths about hypertension, the this, the that, and it looks, it's high value, and it is high value. And it doesn't have to be big. It can be a 10 to 12 page report. It can be a 15 page report. Once it's free, people who have the issue want it. If they don't have the issue, they're not going to, you know, they're not going to download it. All right? So you've offered this on the one page, and there's a box, there's a form, name, email address. They put it in, they get a thank you email that comes back from you. And by the way, you won't write the thank you email. You won't sit down and write it, you know, check, I'm going to check my inbox and see if anyone's done this because I need to send them a thank you. No, we will automate that. All of that will be automated so that when people put their name and email address in, they automatically get a thank you and a link to where they can download the file, or they're automatically redirected to the page where they can download the free gift. That's all automated and it's all simple. I want everyone to say that. Say it's all simple. Yeah, it really is simple. And you just have to trust me on that. Okay? Great. Great. Yeah, you can tell a lot about people by the ringtones that they use.
What did you discern?
That you're quite modern, quite contemporary, you like good music. Real good. Okay, let's go on to the third. Let's go on to the third rule. So what was the first rule? You start with the end in view. When you're designing your marketing documents, when you're designing a brochure, a flyer, a sales letter, a website, start with the end in view. What am I trying to achieve? And typically, there are two things you're trying to achieve. One of two. Be clear about that. If you know what it is, go for it. Then focus on the single thing you're trying to achieve, as opposed to trying to achieve all of them from one site or from one document. Now, just imagine that same postcard scenario that we said you were going to use in a convention or a networking event or an exhibition to try to drive traffic to your website to build your list. Just imagine we decided, okay, we know what we're going to put on here. Free report explains the seven myths about diabetes. Go to www.whatever, okay? Just imagine someone then came in and say, actually, we also need to let them know that I sell a course, a home study course, on the diabetes as well. So let's put that now inside the same postcard. That and also, you can buy for $29.99 my home study guide on how to minimize the impact of diabetes on yourself and your loved ones. Right? What have we now got on the page?
You're trying to convert the lead to sale.
Right, and you're trying to do it all in the one document. Okay? Now, let's also tell them who you are. Okay? Beat Diabetes International. You know, founded by so-and-so. Okay? Registered office, company registration number, phone, fax, this, that, and the other. What are you doing? You're asking the customer to do some work. You're asking them to think about stuff that they want to think about. You're asking them to study your document, and the print is getting smaller and smaller. You're asking too much of them. And you will find it dilutes your effectiveness as a marketeer. It does not enhance it. It dilutes it. So what you do is you split it. Quick question. I mentioned that there are three sorts of website, three purposes of website. Who can remember what they are? A brochure site, lead generation site, e-commerce sales site to convert to a sale. Excellent. And so how many websites should you have at least when you start your business?
Three.
Three. How many websites do you think you will eventually have as you get good at all this? Yeah, many of you this time next year will have as many as 20 websites. Yeah, you'll have 5 websites generating leads in different fields and areas, building your list, and you'll have 5 sales offers, and you'll have two companies, and have brochure sites for your two companies, and you'll have a membership site that people subscribe to at £10 a month in each of the 5 fields, and you'll have everything going on. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay? How many think you could make some money if you had 20 websites up? Okay? What do most people do? They invest a lot of money into one website that doesn't make them a penny. How do I know this?
Dumb.
Yeah? Okay? I know this because I did this. Alright? Put it all in the one site, hoping that everything would work for the one site, and it literally did not. Okay. So that was number 3. Okay. Let's go to, that was number 2, let's go to number 3, and it's the issue of design, the third rule, and here is where I say that your marketing documents should be neat, clean, and tidy, but not over-designed. What do I mean by over-designed? Okay.
So it takes, like if you have a load of pictures and things that aren't relevant to what you're trying to
do,
across,
yep.
It takes that away from the customer.
Very, very good. Very good. So a lot of people put too many images, both on their websites and on their physical flyers. They do this because they think it makes it look better. Okay? First of all, on the website, it makes your website load up slower. And what do you typically do if you try to load a website and it's taking a while? Here, you're just going to move on. Okay? It's not like you say, well, let me leave it loading up and then I'm going to come back to it. No. You can assume that something's wrong with the server and you click off of it and you go on to something else. Let me just share one of my experiences with you to explain what I mean by over-designed, okay? I spent close to £10,000 producing 2 websites that were very, very well designed by a web design company. And they did a fabulous job as far as doing what I asked them to do. But the time that I asked them to do it, I didn't really understand the laws of internet marketing like I understand them now. And I just wanted the sites to look really well. I wanted to have the data capture in there and be able to offer products and do the brochure all within the same family of sites. Okay? Now, he did such a good job that here's what my friend said. This was when I launched the site. I sent out an email to everyone, said, check out my new site. So everyone checked out the new site, and I called some friends, and I said, well, what do you think of the site? They said, oh, it's fabulous. It's amazing. I love it. It's great. It's brilliant. It's flash. Who did it? Wow. Then I said, and what does it say?
Okay.
And they said, well, it's all stuff about coaching, isn't it? And the penny dropped.
Mm-hmm.
Something is wrong here.
You were advertising the web design.
I was advertising the web design. I was not advertising myself or my products. It was over-designed. If it's over-designed, people are so impressed with the design that they don't actually read the words. And what you're trying to do is persuade them in print. So what is most important to you is that people read the words. Now, if you over-design it, they will not. They will admire it. They'll read it in a very casual, technical sense, but the words will not grip them and begin communicating with them in the same way that it would if the words were the dominant feature of your marketing document. The dominant feature must be the words. Okay. Now, of course, tomorrow we're actually going to look at loads of examples of all of this. And perhaps tonight you'll go on the internet and start looking around at stuff. Okay? Now, here's the fourth golden rule, golden mega rule for any marketing document. And it is the power of your headline. Your headline. The power of your headline. Here's the rule. Your headline should be the first thing that grabs the attention of your visitor. The headline should literally jump off the page and grab the attention of the reader. Because your headline is technically the advert for the advert. And for that reason, where do you think the headline should be positioned on a page?
Center.
Top center. Got it? Yes? Because that's how the eye naturally moves. Okay? Your eye is naturally going to go to the top and go down. It will typically go from left to right because that's how we read. So if you top and center your headline, then that's what I'm going to see first. That's what I'm going to notice first. What sort of size should your headline be in proportion to the rest of your text? If your headline is the same size font as the rest of your text, will it stand out enough? No. If it's the same color, will it stand out enough? No. So you've got to accentuate it. Okay? There is a science behind print persuasion, and I'll just explain a little bit of it just like this. When you physically hear me speaking, okay, there are inflections and tonal changes, changes of speed, changes in volume that help you understand what I am saying. Correct? When you hear me speak.
Yeah.
And if you hear anyone speak, as much as, it's something like 7% of our communication is what we say. Okay? The rest of it is how we say. And so, if this was just one monotonous, monotone speech, you wouldn't understand it anywhere near as much as if we had these inflections and volume and speed and everything else. Problem is, when you print something, none of that is there. So you have to create it in the text by using colors, font size, underline, inverted commas, exclamation marks. So people read it the way you're saying it. Now, so your headline, you've got to make it jump out at people by making sure the font is large, the color is bold and arresting, typically red is bold and arresting, And then the words themselves must make it very difficult for me to not read on. Now just go to page 17 and I give some examples of a headline, headline text. And tomorrow we'll give you some websites you can go to that will generate headlines for you. You fill out a form and it will create a headline for you. Okay? Loads of variations of headlines.
Free.
It is free. It is free, yeah. Which means they'll bombard you with other offers afterwards, but you can always unsubscribe. That's how you do it, okay? So, here we go. I've got one here that says, don't ever pay another web designer to make your website. Now you can do it yourself in 10 minutes flat using the same model used by millionaire marketers, even if you have no experience, and it's all for free. Now, that's a big old little paragraph, isn't it? But I want you to think about it. What are the core elements in there? Is there a little bit of controversy in there? Yeah? Do you think people like to read controversy? Yeah? Is there a free offer in there?
Yes.
Yeah? You think people like things for free? Look at that. Don't ever pay another web designer to make your website. Boy, that's controversial, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now you can do it yourself in 10 minutes flat using the same model used by millionaire marketers, even if you have no experience and it's all for free. Well, you can manipulate those words, but the point is, if you're trying to make a website, I've arrested your attention. I've grabbed you with my headline. Okay, let's check this next one. This one is kind of looking at singles, okay? Free ebook explains how to get more dates lined up this month than you did for the whole of last year, guaranteed. Okay? Now typically, here's what will happen. You see that? If there's not an issue in your life, you laugh. If it is an issue in your life, you laugh. Then you go away, you go home, you get home, and when no one's looking, you download the ebook.
Yes.
Right? because you almost have to prove to yourself that it's not true or that it is true. Because it's left a question in your mind. Got me? Now, is it clear what is being offered here?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Now, right now, so your headline has to make a bold statement, make a bold offer, make the statement that you're trying to make, and thereafter other things can work. So, just looking at your different niches, okay, if you were going to offer a free report or a free ebook in order to build your list. What might be a useful headline for you? Okay, and we'll discuss it. So let's just pick someone's niche. We'll pick Nathaniel's niche. He's working with a supplement, okay, that promises all sorts of magical cures, right? Okay. So he wants to capture data, okay? He wants to build his list of people who are into supplements, into natural cures, into natural remedies, because these are the most likely people to buy into his product, or people who are suffering certain ailments that his product can... So he wants to capture them. So he has a free report on... is it a herb? Is it based on a herb? Or is it a chocolate? Did you say it was a chocolate?
No, it's a chocolate, but it's an antioxidant.
It's an antioxidant. Okay. New antioxidant reduces risk of da-da-da-da-da by as much as 80%. Okay, so let's say it's one of the claims that's made by the company you're representing. It'd be something extreme like that, typically. That's you know. So then you have your free report now, maybe a 10-page report on the findings, the research that was done into this antioxidant and how it reduces that. Okay? So he wants me to put my name and an email address in to download his free report on all the research findings about the power of this new antioxidant. Right? So how can he grab me at the top, the headline? How can he grab me?
He has to mention it's chocolate because people love chocolate.
Yeah, but,
it's not actually chocolate, it's chocolate based, right?
No, you
eat the chocolate?
Yeah, you eat the chocolate. It's chocolate, but it's a special chocolate. It hasn't got sugar in it. It's made from...
Okay, so that's a feature of the product. So the question is, how do you arrest my attention when I visit this page? What can you say to me that will almost force me to keep reading?
Are you antioxidant? Not this one.
That's asking me to do a lot of work. I've got to figure it out. Can't ask me to do any work.
Healthy chocolate.
Healthy chocolate stimulates your mind?
Well, that's a feature of your product, okay? And that's a product description. Why should I download the book, download the report? So, we'll start off with free report. I like free report that reveals. Do you know the word reveal is a very powerful word to use in your headline? Let's make a list of powerful words. Free. Revealed. Exposed. Instant. Guaranteed. Undeniable. Irrefutable.
Sorry, Mike, could you write some of these words down? Because I can't spell some of these words.
Bro, if I write them down, you still won't be able to spell them. But my writing is the worst. But I will repeat them. Who's got the best handwriting here? Yeah, great. So, how many of you feel the power of those words? This is we're gonna rewrite them down. You feel the power of them. What makes them powerful?
I don't know. It just jumps out when you say reveal. It's been conveyed to somebody else. That
Right.
It's like it's been confirmed.
Confirmed.
Yeah. There's a secret that's been hidden from you, and it's now revealed in this report. The word secret is another power word to put into your headline. You got it? So who'd like to call out the words that you've got written down so far so that Jen can write them all down?
Revealed.
Oh, she's right. She's writing them all down. Okay.
Irrefutable.
Okay, so let's go back to this headline. We want people to download the free report. That's the objective. We want them. Now, what is the report on? The report is on research which proves that a new antioxidant can reduce the risk of sugar diabetes by 80% and high blood pressure by 80%. Okay? That's shocking. So another word, shocking. Best is a powerful word, but it is a value judgment. And what people, I mean, I use the word best in some stuff that I've done. And what people typically do when you say something is the best is they go in auto mode of no, it ain't. Okay? And what they're going to do, they're going to say, well, I'll be the judge of that, or best by whose standards? It creates an argument. It's relative. Creates an argument in their mind. So just be careful when you use the word best, because it may start a debate in their mind, as opposed to get them to do what you want them to do. So just be aware of that word. Now, are you getting a... yeah. Okay, let's listen to Nate's potential headline, or as it's being formed, okay? Yes.
The secret behind...
Three reports on...
Yeah, a free report. I don't even know now. So that way. What I was going to say is that the antioxidant has been revealed that it can decrease sugar diabetes and high blood pressure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, can you see it's in formation, right? Now, I'm gonna throw one out at you. I'm gonna throw one on the table. Like, we all can just throw one on the table, because this is how you... This is the work that people fail to do, why they fail in business, is just thrashing out the ideas.
Yeah.
Okay? Shocking report reveals facts about diabetes that your GP will not tell you. Think of the power of that. Now, have you...
Shocking report, what was it?
Reveals facts about diabetes and hypertension that your GP will not tell you.
That's good.
Now, Now, obviously, Nate loves that, and it's probably going to appear on the internet within the next month. But let's look at why he loves it. Let's look at what is it about that makes it jump out at you as, woo, I would download that. I would stick my name and email address in, and I would download it.
It's saying, I mean, if I have these diseases,
yeah,
and I'm going to my doctor and I'm injecting myself insulin, obviously that's going to catch my attention. I don't want to use
it. Thank you. Good.
And you also feel that you're not getting the information from your GP, so you have to go to an alternative
source
to find out the information.
Good.
I think the use of the word shocking.
Shocking.
The use of the word reveals.
Mm.
Yeah. It's like, wow.
Mm. You know,
it's like, yeah, this has been hidden for you. Maybe it's been on purpose, but It's almost so out of proportion.
Yeah.
You know,
I've got to look
at it. I've got to look more at it. And what are they hiding from me? I need to know.
Yeah. And do you think the public as a whole feel like facts are being hidden from them around medical issues?
Yeah.
And are facts being hidden from them? I mean, the reality is that there is a war between your pharmaceuticals and your nutrition industry, okay? In the sense that there's propaganda that comes out of the pharmaceutical camp, which discredits all of the nutritional camp, and there's propaganda coming out of the nutrition camp that discredits the pharmaceutical camp. So there is a war. And in reality, your doctor is not going to tell you that if you eat this chocolate, it could reduce your risk by 80% or 70% or 60%. So it's a fact. It's all factual, okay? But it's the way that you've worded this, and you've put these words as the very first thing that the person sees when they log on to this one page. There's nowhere else to go. There's nowhere else to navigate. There is this report. Download it now. Instant download. Free. Now, okay? Well, if this is an issue in your life or in the life of someone that's in your life, And you're going to read it. Now I'm reading it. What am I going to want to do? Try it. Okay? So it's now very easy for Nate to send a follow-up email that says, hope you've read the report by now and you've now learned the shocking truth that most of these problems are diet-related because of things we're missing in our diet, or the truth that there is an antioxidant that has been found that can reduce this by X percent. Okay? Would you like to try it? Click free sample. Click here. What? I get a free sample. Now it gets even... These people are so into Nate's system. Okay? They need him. Does that make sense? Because you didn't start, per se, with... Or because you've done your marketing and you've planned a marketing campaign, you are more likely to win. Typically what people do is they'll sign up with this company. I'm a licensed rep. I can sell this chocolate. And then they get around just talking to people. Hi, do you know anyone with hypertension? Yeah, okay. Well, I've got this product. So you use a free sample. They can try it. And so, that's going to take you forever to build an organization.
So direct marketing is the best.
Direct marketing, leveraging from the internet, can build you a huge list of prospects, and that list is your list, meaning if you ever move on from that company, from that product, you discover a better product, you can continue speaking to your list about what you've discovered on your journey. Okay? So eventually, who thinks those people could eventually become buyers of the product?
Yeah?
Quite clearly, that they could become buyers. And quite clearly, thousands of people could become buyers. And it's the sort of product that you're not just going to buy one time. You're going to subscribe to it and you're going to spend £20-30 a month on the product. Does that make sense? So in terms of return on investment to Nate, it may take a month or two to set that system up, okay, to where it's on autopilot. But thereafter, it's about commissions, isn't it? Yeah, so you've dug a well. Okay, let's pick on someone else's niche and kind of look at the power of a headline. In fact, no, I'm going to pick on someone else's niche for your sub-headline. Because whereas your headline explains or advertises the advert, your subhead should explain why you should read on or why you should sign up. So... there, it's a subheading, which means it is a heading, but it's smaller than the heading. Does that make sense? It's smaller than the heading. It's larger than your main copy. Make sense? And why I say main copy is this. So sometimes in order to get people to sign up, you do need to explain the benefits of the report. Okay? Sometimes you do. And if you're going to explain the benefits that's in this free download, then you will use regular size fonts. But your subheading should be larger than those, but smaller than your main heading, and potentially a different color. Okay? Because what that subheading is going to do is it's going to explain why reading this article is imperative. Okay, so let's think of a good subheading for Nate, actually. And I'm going to sort of teach you something in this, all right? Give me a compelling reason for if Nate was going to explain a little bit of what was inside the free report, okay? What could his subheading be? And that's a big old general question.
The purpose being what? To
get them to read the rest. How can I get them to read the rest? So, let's say he has another paragraph explaining why you should sign up. Okay? But I want to get them to read that paragraph. So what could I say as a subheading that would get them to read that paragraph?
At the end of this report, you will learn how to, or is that too long?
I love what you just said, because it helps me to explain what I was going to explain. All right? It's not that it's too long at all. It is too clinical and does not achieve rapport with your customer. The temptation is to lose yourself, your personality, and be clinical and say the right words. That's the temptation. Okay? But the objective is to have people feel like you are talking with them.
Personalizing it.
Okay? Now I'm going to throw this out to you, okay? So what's the headline again? Let's get the headline.
Shocking reports reveal facts about sugar diabetes. Reveals facts about sugar diabetes and hypertension that your doctors,
your GP will not tell you.
Right. Okay. So what if the next line said, "I'm not knocking your GP, but he probably won't tell you this." ...
Yeah, because that's being sincere, isn't it?
Exactly. And there is a sense in which a person is talking to me. I'm not knocking your GP, but he probably won't tell you this, ... A new antioxidant has been discovered and has been proven to reduce ... Find out all the facts now. Download the report. You got me? Because saying the right words in a clinical, professional, grammatically sound way does not achieve the connection you're trying to create with your prospects. So if you're a mother concerned about raising teenagers, and you have a product that really works for mothers raising teenagers, they need to feel like they are reading a letter from a mother concerned about teenagers, as opposed to the clinically correct grammatical wording. Which doesn't mean you're allowed typos and spelling errors and non-grammar, but it does mean that you talk to them in print, rather than write to them.
You have to use conversational language.
Conversational language. Perfect.
And the other thing is not to be more concerned about being correct, but concerned about how they feel towards what you're saying.
It's a very, very good point. What are you concerned about? Be looking good or how they feel?
How they feel.
Exactly. If you care about how they feel, then they need to feel that in your print. You know, when you can say, look, I know what it's like, you suddenly find out you got diabetes, or you suddenly prescribed all of these tablets, you got to change your life, you can't drink, you can't do this, you can't do the other, and you don't seem like you're getting any information from anyone. I know the feeling.
You're being emphatic.
You're being emphatic, and you are arresting their attention, because they're actually feeling a person speaking to them in print, as opposed to someone writing to them from the clinic.
Sometimes I think when I see headlines like the Evening Standard, I think, oh, that is so out of proportion. They're just trying to get you to read it.
Precisely.
And then
precisely.
When you buy the paper, it's not like, you know, oh.
Yeah, precisely. That is an advertising strategy and secret, which is the headline is designed to get you to read it. That's it. So you got to say things in your headline that makes me want to read it. But when I do start to read it, I need to feel like you are talking with me as opposed to you are writing at me.
Can I give you a good example?
Yes.
The Home Secretary, Jackie Smith, the issue was about MPs funding.
Yeah.
But then her husband has used it to watch adult movies.
Correct.
So it's like taxpayers pay for
correct
adult movies or whatever like that. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like, oh my gosh, what is all this about? You buy it and read.
The other thing I just want to say, going back to like what I was talking about the products, would it be a good thing to say that I actually take it myself?
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. I mean, you need to be a consumer of your own product, no question. Or have people in your life that are benefiting from the product, because that puts emotion into your marketing documents. Most marketing documents are sterile. They are clinical. They are a white room with white furniture in it. It is cold. It is not a living room with a sofa and a fireplace. It's clinical. Your job is to persuade people in print, connect with people in print, to use conversational language that is emotionally charged, so that you connect with them and they feel like this guy or this person or this company knows me.
Is it regulated?
No.
Is it not?
No.
Because you know, you see things like 8 out of 10.
Yeah, absolutely. There is, you know, that's the beautiful thing about the internet. At the moment, it's not. Okay? But the point is, when you are marketing to the world, or in fact, let me just word it this way. Like I said to you, I will not buy anything online from a stranger. Okay? So, we need to get a relationship going before I will even consider buying anything from you. And typically, you need to have given me some value before I think about giving you some money for some more value. So your free report is actually a taster of what you can deliver. Okay? Now, it's not that easy to pull off scams on the internet in this respect. The merchant account that you use to process money will watch you like a hawk. Okay? It simply means that they're concerned about being part of a scam, and therefore what they will do is periodically invade your space and make sure that you are actually delivering to these customers what you promise. If they get too many complaints, okay, they will shut down your account. So it's not that it's, you know, it's not, people oversell things and create descriptions of products that are not realistic or true, or make promises with products that are not realistic or that are completely fanciful. They're shut down very quickly, and they're constantly opening up under other names. All right, your job is to build a relationship with your list by becoming a resource for them, becoming an ally of theirs, becoming that watchful expert on their behalf. I'm guess what I found this week, guys. They've just made an improvement to the chocolate, and tests so far are showing that it's coming up at this level. I'll keep you posted. Nothing selling, I'm just building a relationship with you. Okay? And there's 10,000 of you, but I'm building that relationship. I'm resourcing you. Guys, just a note to say, I got hold of another free, I've got a hold of an article. I'm sending it to you. For free, you can just go to here and download it. Because I'll, you know, without needing to put your email address in. Why? Because I'm just giving you stuff. How many know there's a law of reciprocity? Which basically says that when someone gives you something, you feel obliged to give them something back. You just feel that way. Okay? Someone says good morning, what do you feel obliged to do?
Say good morning.
That's right. That's right. Although I did have an experience one time of saying good morning to someone who just looked at me. And I said, yeah, obviously not that good then, eh? Just looked at me. I thought, okay. You know, let's get out of the lift as soon as we can. You know, it was a lift, yes. But that's this law in motion. You feel obliged to. So if someone gives you a free piece of valuable information, there is a connection straight away. Okay? At least they'll come away saying, oh yeah, the report's good and the guy's good. It's interesting stuff. Okay? And at least you'll come away with their name and email address. Okay? So far so good?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to run through very quickly the style, because I just did when I talked about conversational and relaxed. It's there on page 18. I'm just going to say two more things about your marketing documents before we take a little break. And it is this. Your promise should be bigger than your product. Wow. I love saying that because I like the shock on people's face when they hear it. Yeah. Bigger than your product. So here's what I've written here. At first glance, the statement can be misunderstood. It doesn't mean that you should fabricate or exaggerate the features and benefits of your product. It does mean that you should pay more attention to your promise than to the features of your product. And here's why. A product is a means to an end and not an end in itself. Why would someone buy the chocolate, buy the antioxidant chocolate? Why would they buy it?
Because of the result they want to be healed.
Exactly. There's a result they're looking for. So if you spend most of your time in your marketing document explaining the chocolate and little time explaining how life is going to be after the chocolate, then you've mismatched and disconnected from your clients, from your customer's aspiration. Because the customer couldn't care less about how dark the chocolate is, how tasty it is, the customer wants a better quality of life. Wants to be able to enjoy things they couldn't enjoy before. Wants to be able to do things they couldn't do before. Now your promise then has got to include that, because that's what you're promising. You are promising that this chocolate will have a profound effect upon your quality of life. This will improve your quality of life. So that's where your marketing document should go. What's the mistake most people make? They emphasize the features of the product and not the benefits. The features and not the benefits. So here I am, a vacuum cleaner salesperson, you know, good afternoon, hi, my name is Wayne, and I'm in the area talking about our new range of vacuum cleaners. Do you have a vacuum cleaner, ma'am? Yes, I do. Are you happy with it? Is it making your carpets new? Is it getting into the corners? I'm happy with it. Okay, well, let me tell you about my vacuum cleaner, okay? It has a motor that was made in Germany. It comes in a variety of colors: yellow, blue, red. You can have the silver one. Okay, it's relatively tall, and it has not a 2.7 kilowatt suction power, and it has. Come on.
Light.
Everything I've said there is a feature. Do you think anyone actually wants the vacuum cleaner because it's red?
No.
Because it has an engine motor built in Germany?
No.
Because why do they want it for?
They want it to do a job. Clean the carpet.
Yeah.
Right.
With the least effort.
With the least effort. So let's talk about the benefits of it then.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what can this thing do for me? What can it do for you? Okay? This thing is so light, it's not going to hurt you, you know, the size is such that you won't have to bend your back. The suction power is such that it will go deep into the corners. It gives the carpet a deep clean. It comes up and, you know, now you're talking about benefits to the end user. Because what I want is a vacuum cleaner that cleans the carpet with the least possible effort. So when you're describing your product, you must focus on the promise, not the product. Now, should you explain the product? Yes. But what should be bigger than your explanation of the product?
The promise.
The promise. Or what I'm going to call your list of benefits. You need a list of benefits. Now, here's what I'm going to say. Let's go back to the chocolate, since we're using the chocolate. Let's create a list of features versus benefits. Jen, can I have your attention again? Your skills again? Yes, please. I'm going to ask you to partake in this. Okay? So on this side, put features. On that side, benefits. And let's talk about the chocolate. Okay? Shall I tell you why many independents fail in business? Because they fail just to do this, thrash it out. Strategize, thrash it out. Get in a room with two or three people and ask relevant questions so that the marketing is right. Okay, so someone tell me a feature of the chocolate. And it's an imaginary chocolate. We're not picking on the specific chocolate, but just an imaginary. This is a wonder chocolate that cures backache, right?
It was formed in India.
Okay, made in India. Is that a feature or a benefit?
It's a feature.
Who cares? Well, it depends on who. That'd be great for me, because that's my passion, is India and Indian food.
Because it's like when you get products made in India, or telephone calls, you know they're going all the way to India, and then they're coming back to you. You know they're trying to get cheap labour, and the quality's not so good.
I have no comment whatsoever. I'm an Indian fan of Indian business, Indian food, Indian culture, so I have no comment on that. But we can say that made in India is a feature. Yeah. It's not a benefit.
No.
Okay. Anything else? Another feature?
Made... Ingredients.
Ingredients. Yes, let's put the word ingredients down. Is that a feature or a benefit?
Feature.
Okay, cool. All right, next. Anything else?
Taste.
Yeah.
Yeah, does it taste good?
Yeah, it does taste
good. Okay, question. Is that a feature or a benefit?
No, that would be a benefit.
It's either.
This is a very deep question.
No, that's a benefit.
Let's juggle with it.
Yeah, I would say it's a benefit. Because you could say both. Because I don't want to eat something and it doesn't taste nice.
Right. Yeah. But now here's the deal. This is why I love this comment. Because it is both, but I'm going to lean it in the feature for this reason. Unless it tastes exceptionally nicer than any other chocolate out there, that's not a benefit to me, because I can go and buy chocolate, nice tasting chocolate, much cheaper somewhere else. So it is an added feature that this chocolate doesn't taste bad. Okay? That's a feature of it. But I wouldn't buy it for the taste. Unless I were buying it for the taste, then I can't make the taste a benefit. I have to make the taste a feature that it doesn't taste bad, it tastes okay, or it tastes good, is a feature, not a benefit. Every feature is of benefits to me. Every feature here is of benefit. But I wouldn't buy it for the taste. No one's going to sit down and buy it because it's a tasty chocolate.
No.
Yeah? So in that sense, that's what makes it a feature. So let's just, we got the taste there under feature. It's just about thinking through, when you're thinking benefit, you're going to ask yourself, is this a good reason to buy it?
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah? If it's a good reason to buy it, then it's a benefit. Okay, so far, the fact that it's made in India, the fact that it has all these ingredients, and the fact that it tastes good, is not a good reason to buy it. Yeah? But they're all features, all valid features. Okay, any other features?
Features. It has no sugar in it.
No sugar in it. Excellent.